B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Second down.
That's a play.
And 10. It was a guy who wore number 21 for the Patriots with a saving interception. In an end zone to our right several Super Bowls ago.
Goff
with three to the left. Takes the snap. Harmon on a blitz. Goff throws it to the right. Gilmore's there. Yeah. Intercepted at the four. Harmon forced the pick. And Gilmore comes up with it. His second of the postseason.
What a call.
In possession of the Patriots.
What a call by Brian Flores. Pressure on number 16. You knew the kid was going to crack, and he did there. And what a play by Gilmore.
Number two of Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Again, you're just tuning in here on 98.5 of Sports Hub or checking us out on the simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. It's no Felger and no Maz. It's Jim Murray in the A-hole chair alongside Kristen Arkan today. And we have Tim McCone in my normal spot over in the headline studios and chiming in as well. And you at 617-779-0985. It's an agenda-free Friday brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. Bernardi Auto Group. .com. So we play that sound of Stephon Gilmore because news today that the Patriots get some breathing room against the salary cap as Stephon Gilmore, they converted $8.5 million of his 2019 salary into a signing bonus. It clears about just over $5.5 million of cap space. There's news late last night, courtesy of Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, that there's been negotiations going on between the Patriots and Stephen Gostkowski, which... fine, I guess. Like, I would still like them to bring in another kicker to maybe push him a little in camp, but it doesn't seem like he's been talking to any other teams, Arkand, and they currently don't have a kicker. They figured it out with Ryan Allen. They got him back in the fold, so you do need one, and Stephen Gostkowski, at least in the regular season, very reliable. So that frees them up. My question about this is, though, because this was necessary, because you see, and you keep reading how they've... you know, they're one of the teams that have the least amount of money to deal with right now. And maybe this is why they've been unable to bring in a guy like Adam Humphries or any other wide receivers. Did they try this with anyone else? Did they go to a Dante Hightower or Devin McCourty and they wouldn't play ball? Because they were sounded pretty adamant that they wouldn't. And it just, hey, good on McCourty, good on Stephon Gilmore, rather, that he did this and it's team friendly. But I do wonder if this, they did try to do with some of these other guys, especially Hightower, too. I think it might have, I forget who was reported it, but he had said, like, yeah, no, I'm not going to budge on this. Because them still feel like they have a lot to play with here. This makes things a little bit easier for now.
Yeah.
But it's not like all of a sudden, like, there's this windfall and they're going to be able to, you know, go out and make a bigger signing or maybe even bring in a Jordy Nelson.
No, I think this maybe is just clearing up space so they can sign all their draft picks. If you think about it, I mean, if they have a ton of draft picks and if they use them all, they're going to need money to sign all those guys. And I think this might have something to do with that. It does sort of make you wonder, though. I mean, if they're going to turn this into signing bonuses, he's going to have huge cap hits on the back end of this. You know, $20 million, $19 million, that sort of thing, if my math's right here. And I just sort of wonder, like, his agent and all the people around him, no one said, hey, you know, Stephon, if you do this, you're probably not going to see that money. Like,
right,
you're
right.
Probably not going to be here in time to collect that, and we'll see what kind of player you are in 3 years. But, you know, it just, to me, like, that one was interesting, because, yeah, I'm sure that they went to guys like Hightower and McCourty and guys who they sort of felt like they could get more away with offending, I guess. Like, you know, Dante Hightower's offended. Well, oh, well, you know, you're a good player, but you're sort of on the end here. Same with McCourty. Stephon Gilmore was an all-pro last year, and that's the guy you're going to go and try and needle and squeeze a little bit of money out of. And I know it's not really how it works, but, you know, to even approach that guy who is one of your best defensive players and, you know, start trying to squeeze some money out of him while Trey Flowers, your other best player on defense, is out the door, that's surprising to me. I'm surprised that Gilmore and his people were okay with this.
Couple open lines. You want to talk Pats or pretty much anything else here on an agenda free Friday? 617-779-0985. Mike in Hampton Beach. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
Hey, just quick thought. What do you think about taking a flyer on Dez Bryant?
Oh.
I mean, I know he injured himself, but he's been rehabbing, and I probably get him on the cheap, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I bet it'd be cheap.
I told. Oh boy. With all due respect, Arkand, I only just wish for this moment that Jones was here because I told him yesterday. You were here, McCone, yesterday.
Yeah. Took about an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah.
I knew this was going to happen, and I was already mad about it before we even got one of these calls. as soon as Dez Bryant tweeted yesterday, for all the, there's a lot of good things with Twitter, and as you well know, it can be a sewer arcan, but there's some fun you can have on Twitter. But
Once in a while.
One of the things that...
That Florida man thing this week was pretty good.
Great.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Good stuff. A lot of people liked the Lakers One Shining Moment video that went viral
today. Yeah, that was pretty good.
But for all, you know, we know what where the sewer and the worst of Twitter is, but also there's this. Yesterday, I really got pissed about this, that Dez Bryant tweeted, "I will be a steal wherever I go, bet on it." Because I knew as soon as that tweet was sent... Oh, we're going to get these calls. Much like we continue to get calls, but, yeah, what do you think about Megatron? Can we get Megatron back? No, Calvin Johnson.
I heard you guys yesterday.
Oh, yeah. He's been retired since 2015. He's now getting into the legal weed business in Michigan, and good on him. He'll make more money there. No on Dez Bryant. No on Dez Bryant. Last year, I could be talked into it, even though I thought he had lost a step or two at the end of his career with the Dallas Cowboys. Since he went to the New Orleans Saints last offseason and blew out his Achilles on the second day of practice, he's old and out of shape. I'm good with an old, broken-down Dez Bryant at this point in his career, no matter how bad and barren the Patriots' depth chart looks at wide receiver. No on Dez Bryant.
I think you could get something equal, if not better, than Dez Bryant in the draft, I would think. You know, I mean, just looking at what this guy, he played himself out at Dallas, and they were sort of all done with him. And then, yeah, you're right. He goes to New Orleans, busts his ankle on the second day. No thanks. Like, what's the point? What are you really trying to accomplish here? Unless it's just as like a flyer in camp and you see, you know, one of those type of deals. But even guys last year, like your Jordan Matthews and Kenny Britt and all those guys they brought in, none of those guys worked out. And do you really want to go through those motions again?
Ugh.
You know, do you want to make that like a hallmark of the offseason where you just bring in these lousy receivers and hope that one of them pops and try and save some money and some capital that way? Like, it worked last year. That's true. But you want to make a habit out of that?
People love those big names, though, McCone. Like, you say, oh, yeah, no, now he's the guy. That's the fit.
Look, I just go back to last year and the Patriots desperately needing a wide receiver. Dez Bryant was out there for nothing, and instead they went out and traded for arguably the most unreliable player in football, Josh Gordon, and went with him instead of Dez Bryant. And now Bryant's coming off an Achilles injury. So I can't believe the Patriots would have any interest.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. You want to join us here on an agenda-free Friday. Carl in Grafton, you're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Jim, how's it going? Arcade, how you doing?
Yo.
I wanted to talk a little baseball. I think that I kind of wanted to know what your take was on who was the Chris Sale deal now that they've extended him, you know. But looking forward to hearing you guys about baseball. I'll hang up. I'm on the pike, but you guys take it easy. Thanks.
Thanks, Carl. Well, this was your opening take today, Arcan, on the Chris Sale deal, and now it's official. And what is it again? It's 5 years.
5 years, 150. That's what Passan said. That's what Rosenthal said. But I just saw another, and I just lost it, but a guy from MLB Network, one of their chief reporters, said that it's going to be less than that, and there's going to be some prorated money. So I'll see if that was just a... you know, some guy getting bad information, or maybe, you know, Passan and Rosenthal did. But either way, I mean, it's roughly the same amount of money, and I think that's, you know, not a bad deal if we're talking about Chris Sale going forward and actually playing and being healthy and all of that. I think the Red Sox did fine to go out and lock him down, but it's really tough not to just think back to last year, and not just last year, the year before, and the struggles that this guy had to stay on the mound. And last year in particular, that injury, he didn't have surgery. He didn't have. There wasn't a staged recovery time where you're going to be back in 6 weeks and then you'll come back and we'll get you into this program. He was out of for 3 months basically. And when they brought him back, it was like, all right, now throw 30 pitches, now throw 40 pitches, now throw 50, and now here you go, right into the playoffs. Let's see what you can do. And he was good in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong, but that's a huge red flag. And the fact that Sale took this deal rather than go to free agency at the end of this year, that tells me a little bit about how he's thinking about this too.
Yeah, and I wonder if that has to do with, you know, did he do that because of his physical makeup, or does that have to do with the landscape of Major League Baseball and that you still see guys like Craig Kimbrell out there without a gig? And I mean, this is why David Price, to me, ultimately ended up opting in and taking the deal here, because, again, the landscape of baseball, some of the biggest names out there still floating around without a gig. And I don't know if that's collusion or it's just the way that the salaries have gotten out of whack, but I can't damn a guy right now for going to get that money because they don't really know, you know, what the future holds.
Sure. And Dallas Keuchel still doesn't have a job. He's a starting pitcher, Cy Young Award winner. And yeah, I think that Chris Sale is like a big enough sort of Q rating guy that he'd go out there and get paid if it came to that. But then again, I thought the same thing about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and all those guys.
Yeah.
And it took all the way to the end of this offseason for that to happen. So yeah, you might be right there too.
I believe Eugene in Dorchester wants to yell at Tim McCone. Go ahead, Eugene.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to call in regards to the conversation around Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is one of the best talents in the NBA. And it's not his fault that the Celtics have struggled. The reason that the Celtics have struggled is because they've been without Baines for extended periods of time. They've also been without Horford for extended periods of time. And it's been their interior defense that's been weak, and they're rebounding. And that's not Kyrie Irving's job. Okay, Kyrie Irving's job is not to secure the interior defense and the rebounding. And that's been the Celtics' Achilles heel. What they need to do is that they should be starting Robert Williams at center, Horford at power forward, and it's time for Gordon Hayward to be starting at small forward, and you move Tatum to your shooting guard position along with Kyrie Irving in the backcourt. Now, by doing that, you secure the rebounding, and you've got even better shooting now from your two-guard position, and that'll really unleash Jason Tatum. That's what the Celtics need to do. I still think they can win the championship. I expect them to play in the championship still this year because I feel like their team is just that good. It's just that they haven't defended and they haven't rebounded at critical times in the games when they need to. But there's an answer for that sitting right on the bench in Robert Williams.
All right, Eugene. As far as starting him, I don't know about that. He's not ready for that. No. More minutes for him? I know I was yelling at my TV the other night in the loss.
More than
76ers.
Zero, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. When Baines went down and you lose another great defender in Marcus Smart because he stupidly gets himself ejected, I don't know, a token few minutes because you're getting killed in the paint. So I don't disagree with a lot of that. I certainly don't agree that they're going to go to the finals still.
No.
But Eugene's still bullish on them.
Absolutely not. And look, I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving is a terrible player. He's a good player. But when you look at this trade, they're 33-27 with Kyrie Irving, and he has an opportunity to walk out the door at the end of the season. They have not played up to the potential. And if you're talking about trading for an asset that didn't finish the year last season, and now all of a sudden you're the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference, and you gave up a top 10 pick for it, I don't know how you look at it and you can say the Celtics to this point clearly won that trade. They haven't.
Well, yeah. Who's not played up to their potential, though? Because Kyrie, I think, has played about the type of season I was expecting.
The Boston Celtics as a whole have not played up to their potential.
All right, but which individual players have underachieved this year? Because Kyrie's not one of them, I don't think.
I mean, Jason Tatum certainly has.
Gordon Hayward's been a disaster.
Yeah,
Tatum did not take that next leap this year.
Jalen Brown over the last 2 months has been a lot better, but the start of the season has been terrible. Look, I just think the team as a whole has not produced, obviously. And so I just look at it, and I don't know how you could trade in, you know, that asset for a season like this that has been wildly disappointing.
Well, I'm glad that caller brought all that up because it's a good segue into what I want to get into next. And that is something you were talking about last night on the night show, Arcand, is whether or not the Celtics might have been real negligent at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And I want to break down some numbers for you that really show you the futility of finishing in the fifth and fourth seed in the NBA playoffs. So while Eugene feels still good about the Celtics' chances of getting to the finals, these numbers, once I give them to you, might change your mind, Eugene. So listen for that, and we'll continue to take your calls here on an agenda-free Friday. It's Felger and Mazz, 98.5 Sports Hub.
You're listening to Felger and Mazz on 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mazz.
I love it.
You were right, Mazz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
I thought they got us a couple of times at the rim where we probably need to hold our ground better at the rim or in the paint. And then Jimmy made big plays at the end of the game. He really made a ton of shots and a ton of plays. I mean, on the other end, we came up a little bit dry. You know, I thought for the most part we battled and it was a heck of a basketball game. And
Celtics head coach Brad Stevens. Here at Felger and Mazz, 98.5 of Sports. I was Motley Crue, just a tad bit distracting Arcand because I don't know about you. I am so pumped for that Dirt documentary. Not documentary, the Dirt movie that they put on Netflix that just premiered today. Oh, I can't wait to watch this thing.
Not familiar.
Oh, yeah, no. It's apparently so trashy and very very much like the book.
Nice.
But as it pertains to the Celtics coming off this ugly loss to the Sixers, that followed that ugly loss to the Denver Nuggets, they're back in action against Charlotte tomorrow night. But I wanted to touch on this. And again, Felger Maz, 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Murray and Arcand in for the boys today. Got Tim McCone alongside as well here on Agenda Free Friday. Something you brought up last night is, well, you see all these other teams in the East that were active at the trade deadline and where they are in terms of seeding now, but it really maybe does prove how negligent that Danny Ainge and the Celtics were at the trade deadline for themselves and yeah. where they sit today.
Now, I think that there's a good case to be made that Danny didn't want to move any assets that might prevent a Anthony Davis trade in the offseason, and I understand that, and I think that makes sense. But at the trade deadline, which was February 7th, the Celtics were in third place. They were the third seed in the East. Philly was fifth. They were one game back, and the Celtics were only 3.5 back from Toronto and 5 games back from Milwaukee. All three of those teams made moves, coincidentally, to help their front court. You got Marc Gasol in Toronto, Mirotić in Milwaukee, and Tobias Harris, who you saw the other night, had a good night against the Celtics in Philadelphia. And now, fast forward to today, Celtics are 4 games back from Philly. They're way out of contention for the top 2 spots. And, you know, I'm not saying that 100% that Harris and Mirotić and Gasol is the reason those other teams took off, but the results are what they are. You know, those three teams all made some moves, and I think they made them in part because the Celtics at the time, if you remember, in February, were playing really great basketball. They were hot. Yeah. And I think these other teams sort of thought, all right, if we're going to compete with the Celtics, we're going to have to do something. And they did. And the Celtics didn't do anything. And those three teams have left the Celtics since then, left them in the dust.
And they could have used another token big, I feel like, just to help in terms of rebounding. And now that Baines is dealing with this injury that hopefully isn't as bad as it was initially reported, like, they could use someone else. And they, again, you're right, like, they did nothing, and here they are still sitting at the 5 seed. One of the last calls we took in the prior segment was from Eugene. I believe he was in Dorchester, who still believes in the Celtics and their chances to get to the finals. Well, here's some numbers for you that prove the futility, rather, of finishing at the 5 seed or the 4 seed in the NBA playoffs, courtesy of our former intern, Tucker. Yeah, Tucker. Tucker Boynton, who's a great follow on Twitter, who's really carving out himself a nice little niche on Twitter with little videos and stuff like that, at Tucker_TNL. I just retweeted this as well. But here's the Celtics seeding implications. In the last 10 postseasons, 5 seeds. 5 seeds. They are 13-7 in the first round. Not too bad.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good. So even if they finish at the 5, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Going against this frisky Indiana team, 13-7 in the first round. Not bad. The second round, however, in the last 10 postseasons, teams that finish at the 5 seed, 1-12.
Ooh.
They are 1-12 in the last 10 years. And then in that third round of the conference finals, 0-1. So only one team has reached as a 5 seed. 4 seeds. Yeah, I got to think, okay, well, better if you're a 4 seed, right?
Not in the first round.
No, first round. 4 seeds are 7-13. 7-13 in that second round, 4-3. And he's saying last 10 postseasons, 7-13 in the last 10. You didn't even do the math there correctly there, Tucker. And you went to Harvard. Even I can see that. Second round, 4-3. Third round, they've actually made it 2-2. And two of those teams have made the finals, but 0-2 in the finals. So 4 seeds, it's funny, even though they're bad in the first round, have actually had better success the deeper they go, except for the finals. But either way, this isn't where they want to be. And this is what I find so frustrating about the cavalier attitude of Kyrie Irving, Arcand.
He's right, though, because there's 2 conferences.
Oh,
yeah.
Check that right.
Yeah.
Duh.
Don't doubt the Harvard boy.
Yeah, don't do math on the air, Jimmy.
I really shouldn't. You would think I would have learned at this point, Jimmy, but nope, still a rocket.
It's the chair.
I'm in radio for
it's
a
100%
week.
The chair.
It is. It's the symbiotic relationship of the chair and the host and the a-hole chair. It's almost like venom. It takes over.
You just get dumber sitting there.
But, Arcand, this is what I find frustrating from Kyrie Irving and his comments, just the cavalier attitude about the seating, because it does matter. The numbers show here.
Right.
It does matter. Like, we'll be fine. Will you? No, history shows you probably won't be.
Yeah, and you're not a good road team either. So, I mean, that's the big part of it for me. This team, after that loss to the Sixers, are now under 500 on the road this year. And you want to just sort of coast to the end of the season and be the 5 seed? Great. Have fun. You know, you're going to be playing, if you get that far, a Game 7 in Indiana or wherever it is. And I don't, it's hard to feel good about this. It's hard to take this team seriously as a playoff team for that reason, and also the fact that they're third in their own freaking division. Like, come on. Cleveland and the LeBron Cavaliers, they would take games off. They would coast. The Spurs with Popovich, he would rest his guys and they would take games off, and that was sort of part of it. You know, those teams always finished in the top 2 in their conference and always won their divisions. The Celtics are about to finish third in their division. Greg, how do you just take that off?
No, you can't. There's no excuse in it. Greg and Hudson.
Jay Whalikers.
Greg and Hudson, you're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey.
Hey, Jim and Christian. How are we doing this afternoon? Hey.
Good, thank you.
You ever have that class in school where you really, really liked the teacher and you were really hoping they'd stay there all year, but they had to take 2 weeks off, and then this really hot-looking person, girl, came in and took over and did just as good a job, if not even better, when the other ones were gone?
Okay. I know, because most of the substitutes at Melrose High were real ugly, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm liking you guys filling in this week for.
Oh, well,
I was really wondering what was going to happen, how it was going to come out. Were you guys going to be as sharp and edgy or as controversial? You guys have done just as great a job, picked up right where they left off, and done even a better job than I would have expected.
Oh, thanks, Greg. I really appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say. Normally, it's a lot of hate with the calls and on social
media. Gee Willikers.
Yeah, Gee Willikers. That was very nice of you, Greg. And I like the analogy, too. Arcand, you and I today, and you too, McCone, we're like the hot, busty substitute with one button just undone.
Mm-hmm.
Just to tease the students a
Never
little
had
bit.
One of those either, myself.
No, it's just old, gray, washed-up men. Like, yeah. Oh, we're going to miss Mr. Hassett. Who are we going to get? Oh, it's just this guy who reeks of cigarettes. Let's go to Derek in Foxborough with an NCAA tournament thought. Hey, Derek.
Yeah, Murray, you said you were rooting for Duke to win the tournament, but the team you should be rooting for, and not just because they have the same name as you, is Murray State. You know, they're an underdog 12 seed, but they have maybe the best player in all of college basketball, in Ja Morant.
Yep, awesome.
He had a triple-double yesterday. He's an absolute beast. You know, you don't root for the big Goliath in Duke and that rat Mike Krzyzewski. Murray State is a team you should be rooting for.
Derek, I like it. I'm sold as of last night because I saw Twitter ablaze about Ja Morant, and I was like, okay, because as I told Jones earlier in the week, Arcand, and anybody else that was listening, like, the tournament's just not my thing. Like, as much as right. I like college football, college hoops, meh. But I'm sold on Zion, so here I am with the heel turn, now rooting for Duke because he is that transcendent and he is electric to watch and he's must-see TV. So I'm in on Duke and I want them to go deep because I want more Zion in my life. This Ja Morant, when I saw Twitter going off about him last night, I was like, okay, I'll tune into this. Oh, he's nasty.
He's awesome.
Oh.
That dunk?
Oh, my God.
Love it.
I thought he was going to break that guy's wrist.
And I don't have to. And the other thing, too, how can I not root for Murray State?
Exactly.
The best of all the colleges, and it's more than a college. It's a state of mind to be Murray State. So, right. Yeah, I'm all in on Ja Morant and Murray State. I'm an easy sell on.
You know who I like? Wofford. Because I didn't even think it was a school. I thought it was like a fake school. I thought I was looking at like a fake...
Is that who's Fletcher McGee?
Was yeah, Fletcher
yeah.
McGee.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, what a name. And this kid's pulling up from like he's Steph Curry, Fred, stepping over half court. I like them, and I'm rooting for Minnesota, too, because I played against their head coach in high school.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh.
Richard Pitino, Pitino's kid. He went to St. Sebastian, and I played against him in high school. I actually stole the ball from him once. So in a way, it's like I stole the ball from Louisville today.
So it's not like it's just the I'm rooting for the tears of others, because that's mostly what it is, let's be honest, when it comes to me watching the tournament. But no, you know, like I'm in on Zion and Duke, even though that kind of makes my skin crawl because it is Duke. Mm. But he's a blast to watch, so I need that. And now, yeah, this Ja Morant and Murray State, the best of all the colleges. See, there's things I'm rooting for with the tournament. Quickly, let's go to Nick in Amherst with a Patriots thought. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
I got one take for you guys and one question for Jay Stu. I think that the Colts are probably going to be the biggest issue for the Patriots this year, or I think that they're going to surprise and do the best or better than the Chiefs, per se. And then, Jay Stu, what do you think about Finn Balor posting a picture of his face on a tombstone? Do you think that we're maybe going to get, with that imagery, Tombstone Taker versus Demon match at WrestleMania? Thank you guys so much. Bye.
Thanks, Nick. Jimmy?
I don't think we'll get Finn Balor versus Undertaker. I think you'll get Finn Balor the Demon taking on Bobby Lashley for the Intercontinental Championship. But Finn Balor is very internet savvy, so he's probably trolling and stirring up the masses by doing the Tombstone with his face on it, because there were reports that the Undertaker wants to work with Finn Balor in a future program.
And as far as the Patriots and the biggest threat in the AFC next year, I still have to think that it's the Kansas City Chiefs. They've retooled that secondary. They're bringing Tyron Matthew at safety. Mm. Patrick Mahomes is going to get another year under his belt, and I would imagine be better, and he's coming off the MVP season. I still think it's them. The Colts? You can make an argument for them. They felt a year ahead of schedule last year. They squeak into the playoffs and then played like complete ass in Kansas City. But Luck looks like he's back to being Andrew Luck. They had Justin Houston yesterday. The only other signing was Devin Funchess. They still have a lot of money to play with. But that defense and the Darius Leonard, the defensive rookie of the year, they look a year ahead of schedule, so they could be a real threat too.
Yeah, Houston too. Actually, I think next year the South is gonna rise again. Like the AFC South, like they have a lot of Nick Foles going to Jacksonville, I think is pretty underrated over there. I think Tennessee's a decent team. Like that whole division could be a problem for the Patriots.
You're mostly a left leaning weenie like me, Arcan. That was a poor choice of words there.
South rising again, AFC South.
Yeah. 617-779.
I'm not putting up any statues, Murray. Don't worry.
0985. We'll continue to take your calls on just about anything here on an agenda-free Friday. Here is Tim McCone, though, to get you caught up in the Sports Hub headlines, the latest, and what's going on in the NCAA men's tournament, and more here with McCone, and then back to you here on Felger and Mass.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Bill's looking for his red hanky. And enthusiastically, he tosses it onto the turf. A challenge from Belichick. And now he's into it with Adam Thielen.
I just thought the play was cheap. Man, I wasn't directing it towards him. I just thought the play was cheap. But like I said, I let the emotions get the best of me because it's a smart football play. If you are in that situation, why not? It's not cheating because there's no rule against it from a guy going down. And I don't know if he was hurt or not. He might have been hurt. That's fine. It is what it is. But like I said, just interesting timing for a guy to go down when it's a close play.
He too sent some words your way. No offense taken, I'm guessing.
No offense taken. He can think what he wants to think about me and doesn't really change how I'm going to go play the game. So he can hate me all he wants, and I'm going to still be the same person I am. And I'm going to try to go out and do my best, and I'm going to try to compete every play.
Did you talk to him after the game?
I did not, no.
All right, got to go back to late last year in the Patriots season. Their win over the Minnesota Vikings, that little blow-up that happened on the sideline. Bill Belichick threw the challenge flag after looking up. Pat Chung may or may not have faked an injury there. I think it was on 4th-and-1. Patriots ultimately lost the challenge, but Thielen and Belichick got into it because Thielen thought it was cheap. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub, with Murray and Arcan in for the boys again today. And the reason I play that is because Mark Daniels, who covers the Patriots for Providence Journal, floated the idea of, well, as the Patriots are missing out on all these free agent wide receivers, they should trade for one, and maybe one of those guys should be Adam Thielen, who's in the last year of his deal with the Minnesota Vikings. In terms of the talent level and the size, yeah, I would do that. Like, I would trade their 32nd pick overall, the first-round pick, and a fourth for Thielen. I would do that. And I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know if that the Minnesota would actually take that, but that's a guy that I think would be a fit here. Regardless, Arcand, I feel like they have to trade for a wide receiver here because they can't go into the season. You know, they can draft one, obviously, but they need some help there. I'd like a veteran. I'd like a guy that I know that can be their solid number two, that can, you know, beat a cornerback one-on-one and maybe stretch the field a little bit.
Yeah, I think that would be he'd be a great fit. He'd be a great fit anywhere. He's just that kind of guy. And also, I think he graded out as the best route runner in the league last year by whoever it is that judges those things.
PFF,
I don't know, really
probably.
Know, PFF something. But yeah, I mean, listen, like I said before, the Patriots can afford to do this. They can afford to do pretty much anything they want to in the trade market. And I think that may be why they've sort of, you know, skipped over and overlooked this whole free agency thing, because they know with all these draft picks and, you know, guys like Thielen who wants an extension, he's been begging Minnesota for an extension since February, and you know, he hasn't gotten it yet, and they do have some other wide receivers there, so maybe this could be a great opportunity for the Patriots to cough up some draft picks. I mean, it's not going to come cheap, but you have enough of them, you can do it. Go ahead and do it. Go get Adam Thielen. Why not?
Josh in Bridgewater has a Patriots question here for an agenda-free Friday. Hey, John. Hello, John.
Great job filling in, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, listen, so the Pats obviously have a glaring issue at quarterback, as we all know, coming in, 2 to 3 years, probably with Brady and all that. So, Big Jim, asking you, you know, looking into your crystal ball, if you had one. Now, how's this going to all play out, in your opinion? I mean, my buds are telling me Josh Rosen may learn for a couple of years under Brady. They may go through the draft. What are you thinking?
All right, so Jim Stradamus here is going to look into his hypothetical crystal ball there, and thank you for the phone call and the compliments. We'll always appreciate those. Jim Stradamus, 2 years from now, your starting quarterback is, it's a 44-year-old Tom Brady who has lost a bit of a step, but he is a physical freak, and I really do believe he is probably going to play till 45. But behind him, I would like to think, like your friends are telling you, that it's Josh Rosen here. I know Zoe is not a fan.
I think Josh Rosen sucks. I don't think there's any.
You're no fan either.
I did not see anything for him last year that made me think, yeah, it's a guy they should really work on and try and develop. I don't know. I know he was in a bad team.
And you just mean
that
from the on-the-field stuff. This isn't like born with a silver spoon in his mouth, like some of the stuff.
There is kind of that too, but I don't think that really matters. A lot of people always say that, oh, this guy, he had a silver spoon in his mouth. So did Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. and all these other guys. A lot of people, you know, in all sorts of sports, had silver spoons growing up. They're still great players. I don't think that makes a difference.
Whether it's Rosen, the kid out of West Virginia that Zoe likes, someone in this draft, someone next year, I think 2 years from now, caller, it's still Brady and someone behind him that's learning the ropes. I really do believe that. And it's Brady with a bit of a drop-off. At that point, we're probably looking at the end, and hopefully it's not as ugly as Peyton Manning at the end or Dan Marino at the end. But 2 years from now, I still believe Tom Brady is going to be the starting quarterback. I don't think that's as drastic as, you know, Mike and Tony do and some others do. Like, they got to get a quarterback this year. Like, okay, I mean, yeah, you're always going to be concerned about injuries for Brady or really any quarterback. It's the most important position in the league, obviously. But I don't think it's like the most pressing need. No, you need a wide receiver. You need what more pressing need to me, Arcand, is who's going to replace Rob Gronkowski. Mm. He's going to be out the door before Tom Brady is. And that could be this season.
Yeah.
You know,
it could still happen this offseason. And Jared Cook's a guy I would have loved to have been in there to be that guy to maybe not replace him, but, you know, play with him this season or
take some of the load off.
Exactly. Like that sort of thing. Like Gronk over there and block and be in the run game. And if he's not here this year, then yeah, you got a guy who can catch passes and get in the end zone. I would have been fine with that. But yeah, you know, that's another one. I mean, it wasn't going to be Hollister. It wasn't going to be any of these other guys who were on the practice squad and so forth. So, you know, wide receiver's important. Tight end's really important. I think that if Gronkowski ends up leaving, and even if he doesn't, you need to emphasize these things way ahead of backup quarterback, much more. That's a project down the road. This is right now.
All right, coming up in our long commercial-free segment, we'll continue to take your phone calls. We have yet to touch on the Bruins as they beat up on the New Jersey Devils last night. We'll touch on that and continue to take your calls. We have one open phone line you want to join us, 617-777-9985. It's an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mazz.
This is Felger and Mazz on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Controlled by McAvoy, and he'll wait it out back of the net. The Boston Bruins are going to improve to 2-0 thus far on a 4-game road trip. The horn sounds. They record a 5-1 victory over the Devils. Take 2 of 3 in the season series. And it'll be the Bruins heading to Florida with a 6-point lead over the Maple Leafs with 8 games remaining in the regular season.
Our own Judd Surratt with the final call. The Bruins 5-1 victory over the New Jersey Devils in New Jersey last night. Felger and Mazz, 98.5 to Sports Hub. It's our long commercial-free segment coming up here. If you want to join the show, 617-779-0985. And for the final time this week, it's Jim Murray in the A-hole chair, joined by Christian Arcand and Tim McConan, and you again at 617-779-0985. So a good win for the Bees last night. A great night for the perfection line. as you get goals from Patrice Bergeron, who is just had a phenomenal season, and that's yet another 30-goal season for him.
All three of them.
Yeah, right. David Pastrnak is back. It only took him a game to look like David Pastrnak despite the thumb injury, so that's good. Brad Marchand, great night for him. So my only question is, and just as a side note, the New Jersey Devils, like, they're the equivalent of just like staring at a pair of shoes for like two and a half hours. Good for the Bruins last night, but boy, like, that game was kind of a little tough to watch just because of the opponent. They stink. But my question coming out of that game is, Arcand, and to you, McCone, and you as well, callers, is the way that they performed last night with Pastrnak back, is that the argument against having Danton Heinen on the top line? Because as well as he's played there, it is still, like, when those three are together, it is really special. And it's not like Heinen had a bad night for himself either.
Yeah.
Do you want to see that broken up and have the perfection line be the perfection line and have it look like it looked last night? Or do you want Heinen still back up there?
I want to keep them where they are. And I just say that because of Pastrnak. It's the only reason I think that, you know, he looked good and he scored that goal. It was a beautiful goal. Bergeron to Marchand off the faceoff right through the slot, and then Pastrnak buries it. That was nice. It was nice to see that and see these guys sort of out there doing what they do. But I think that in terms of, you know, Pastrnak and getting the most out of him, leave him up there for now, because David Krejci hasn't done much these last couple of games. And more than that, you know, Pastrnak's playing with a splint on his hand still, I think. And there's a lot of reasons why I think, you know, you're best keeping him comfortable here towards the end of the season. Then if you get to the playoffs and you're that confident and you think, okay, we can move him around now, do it then. But right now, for these last eight games or whatever it is, leave Pastrnak on that top line. And if you feel comfortable enough with it, then start moving him around then. Don't do it yet. And Danton Heinen, by the way, great goal, which may have cost Sean Corrali his wrist, unfortunately. That was really too bad, considering that great night he had against the Islanders. But I think, you know, overall, Heinen, second line guy, I think that's where he belongs. And Pastrnak on that top line, you know, you get that into the playoffs, and who can really step to them? Like, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah, Heinen's good with the puck. He can pass, and I think he's proven to be, you know, last night shows he's comfortable just about anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. Like, and just in terms of getting and I know it's two games back, and here you have Pastrnak, you know, putting the goal in the net, but in terms of what's left here for the regular season, and in terms of, like, getting whatever residual rust is left on Pastrnak off, leave him in the top line. And at least it's a good problem to have. You at least know it works. Like, if you want to put Pastrnak with Krejci to try to get him going a little bit, well, you have that option, you know?
Yeah. You know what blew my mind last night? I looked this up. You know, Danton Heinen is just Canadian. I thought he was like Swiss or from Finland or something, because he looks like he is.
Yeah.
And his name's Danton Heinen.
You know? Right. Yeah,
I thought he was. I definitely thought there was some kind of thing there, but now he's just from Vancouver.
617-779-0985, whatever you want to talk about here today. It is an agenda-free Friday, pretty much within reason, but we'll take calls just about anything. We'll go to Johnny in New Hampshire, though, who does want to talk about the Bruins. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Murray, I love you, guy. I listen to you all the time.
Thanks.
Just have a take on Tuukka Rask. Seems like, do you think that they are overplaying him coming into the playoffs? They played him the last two games in a row. He has been playing good, but before that, he got pulled from a game, and he lost another game after that. So I just want to see your take on that. I'll hang up and see what you guys have to say about it.
Yeah, Johnny, it's a little more than I thought. I'm sure he will continue to be managed here down the stretch, but two back-to-backs here was a little bit surprising to me. So I would expect, is it tomorrow against Florida, that it will be Halak and Net, I hope.
Yeah. And then Tuukka on Monday against Tampa, I would think, yeah.
Yeah, because that one still matters. It's,
right.
You know, we all know, like, the more you rest him, it's paramount to his success. When you had Bruce Cassidy talk about how they were going to manage both goalies going down the stretch here about a week or two ago, it sounded to me like he was maybe only going to get, I think, nine games, but feels a little bit more so far. I wouldn't mind him missing a few more here down the street. Start him against Tampa. Obviously, that's kind of a playoff preview, I would think. To me, it is. But after that, I don't know. The more for Halak, the better to me.
Yeah, none of the games really after that make much difference. You got the Rangers and a couple other teams. I don't know if you even have any more playoff teams until you get
to
the very
end of the game. That's useless.
And they're not going to play their regulars, and the Bruins shouldn't either. And honestly, I'll tell you this, Murray. I think I'd be fine with the Bruins not just resting Tuukka, resting Chara, resting Bergeron, resting Krejci. Give all those guys as many maintenance days as they need between now and the end of the season. Because what's happened these last couple of years? All those guys run out of gas. It happens every year, and it ends up screwing them. So, yeah, give them as much time off as they need, get them as rested and healthy as they can possibly be, and you know, who cares after this Tampa game? Who gives a rat's ass about these last seven games?
Mike in Wakefield, you're next here on an Agenda Free Friday. Hey, Mike.
gentlemen, you know, initially I was going to call in and just kind of troll and see how many pleasantries I can get away with until you guys hung up on me. But, like, directly after I called in, some guy called in and totally stole my thunder. He was like, I love you guys. This is the best show ever. So because that made me almost throw open in my mouth, I decided I'm actually going to do a little sports take.
All right.
I think for the overtime, I think would really make it work if each team got a possession. And obviously the NFL really wants more offense. They want more points. They want the fantasy market to continue to explode the way that it is. So if you give both teams an opportunity to possess the ball, and if it's a tie at the end, then it goes to sudden death. And as far as like the whole, like, I know that they proposed all these rule changes, which are really not rule changes at all. But I got one for the coaches. Just give the coaches three challenges. That's it. You can challenge anything, whether it's a call, it's a non-call, whether the grass is Kentucky blue or Louisiana sweat. Like, I don't care. Just give them three challenges, and that's it.
Mike,
and,
I have to ask, are you driving like a Subaru WRX or like a modified vehicle?
Are you in a drag race right now?
Very loud.
No. What happened was I bought this car for work, right? It's like a $500 Camry, and the exhaust fell off one day. The whole thing, the whole system just fell off. So I was like, what, am I really going to spend the money to put another one on? Although I would take your advice and go get it checked out at Valvoline, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, so this was you that called
Winter
yesterday.
Winter is here.
I thought, thanks for the call, Mike. I thought that was like, that's the same guy with the very loud vehicle from yesterday. I don't know. If you could troll the world with a vehicle that sucks and sounds like ass, like, I get it.
Sure.
I can completely understand that. I'm surprised how many callers, though, Arcan, and I don't know how you guys have dealt with this at night, are actually for changing the NFL overtime. Like, it's fine the way that it is to me.
It's totally fine.
And I don't buy the argument, like, you know, Felger, when he's normally sitting here, like, well, you want to have your stars on the field. You have stars defensively. At least Kansas City did. I know their secondary sucked, but, you know, they had great pass rushers in Dee Ford and Justin Houston last year. Make a play. They're stars. Make a play. Make the stop. I don't want to hear that. And then my hypothetical is this. You mean to tell me that, okay, so you kick off to the opposing team. That opposing team takes that back for a touchdown immediately, that the team that kicked off should get another chance? Get the F out of here.
Yeah.
Please.
I don't see any reason why. I like that they changed it to what it is now.
Me too. Yeah,
I hated the old field goal thing.
Yeah.
That used to drive me nuts. But, yeah, listen, it's not like getting into field goal range anymore. We're talking about getting into the end zone, right, all the way down there. And if you can't stop that, sorry. Yeah, it's an offensive-minded game. People want to see offense. But if your defense can't stop a touchdown drive, you know, to start the overtime, oh, well, you know, sorry, that's your fault.
We might have a major upset brewing in the men's NCAA tournament. Tim McCone's going to get you caught up with the latest on that. And then it's right back to you here on an agenda-free Friday in Felger and Maz with Murray and Arcand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.